Hello, everybody. With Richard Piper and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online, and we would love to hear from you right now. The toll-free number is 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Richard Piper.
Thanks, Bob. Well, we're on day two of how do you take care of your children? What does the relationship with your kids look like? What does it look like for the kids with their parents? And today it gets a little more complicated. Yesterday we talked about very young children and how important it is to make sure that they know they're loved and that Jesus is real and that sort of thing. But little kids kind of take your word for it. Today we move into the junior high and high school ages where, quite naturally, it's part of the growing up process, kids begin to exert a bit more independence. They want their own space. They want to be able to make their own choices, etc. And that's a good thing, but it can cause stress. I don't think the children understand how much stress it causes for their parents because they're too stuck on this stress their parents are causing them. But there is a way through this, and it's very similar to what we talked about yesterday. If you're dealing with children from the standpoint of your job as a parent is to transfer their dependence from you to Jesus, and if your another major part of your job is to realize that they have certain gifts and talents, and the Spirit is actually equipping them to do certain things that could be very different than the jobs you chose to do, for example, it doesn't need to be quite as stressful. But there still is a tension. And Andrew, I want you to jump in on this because I know you pastor a church. You've got a youth group there. You see this more than we do in our ministry because we don't have a youth group. We're just old. So what do you see happening?
Yeah, well, there is a tendency for people to think that, you know, this message of God's grace, the new covenant, either it's too complicated or it's too boring or they're not ready for it or, you know, they've got to have, you know, there's even rumors floating around in grace circles today. Oh, well, they've got to have the law first. And then if they, you know, experience the law, then maybe one day they'll burn out and show up at a basic gospel conference or something and then finally be ready for God's grace. And of course, we know that's a myth. That's not necessary at all, that, you know, we're supposed to be growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ ever since we receive him. We walk in him in the same way that we received him, and that's by grace. So, you know, every child of God is ready for the grace of God. The grace of God is not an addendum or something that we learn later after we operate under law. The law kills. The law inspires sin. Even in a young believer, you tell them, do not, do not, do not, do not. And all that does is excite human flesh. It excites human effort. And so for young people, as you're saying, Richard, you know, a 9-year-old, a 12-year-old, a 15-year-old, however old they are, to fall in love with Jesus Christ and know that he indwells them and know that the life is a life of grace, that the life is a life of trust, a simple personal trust in Jesus for him to be him in and through us. Those concepts can be captured, learned at a very young age. You know, here in our youth group in West Texas, we have 30 or 40 youth that attend our events. And when they do, every single event, we have a 20 or 30 minute sharing time where someone, one of the leaders, we have six different leaders, three couples, and someone will share on relationship with Christ, living under grace, identity. And I mean, we grew from 5 to 40 in a matter of 3 months when we started really equipping our kids with the new covenant message of God's grace. So it's not something where kids aren't ready. They desperately desire and need the grace of God. And, you know, that meets the need of any human heart, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. So you're hearing our approach to this. Surprise, surprise, it's by grace through faith. It's based on the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you've got some issues that you would like to talk about today with your kids, or, you know, if some teenagers want to call us and talk about their parents, please do so, because there are answers to this, and they're not always the answer of whoever, you know, digs their heels in the most. There are ways through some of these relationship issues, and we want to talk to you about them.
Absolutely, and you can call right now, 844-322-2742. If you're hearing this broadcast during the 3 o'clock p.m. Central Time hour, we would love to hear from you. We are a live broadcast at this particular time, 844-322-2742. The lines are open right now. We would love to hear from you. Andrew Farley joining Richard Piper and me, Bob Davis, on this edition, and thank you for joining us. You know, friends, it's been true for a long, long time. Marriages and families are under attack. Every day, negative forces work to undermine the relationships that are most important to us. What are you as a believer in Jesus Christ to do? How can you build a strong, authentic relationship in marriage and family life? Truly, there's only one way. That's through the power of Jesus Christ living in and through you. As declared in Colossians 1:27, it is Christ in you, your hope of glory. In his new series, Inside Out, Marriage and Family, Bob Christopher shows how Jesus works on the inside to give you all the necessary ingredients to enjoy strong and healthy relationships, relationships that defy the negative forces, relationships that are authentic and real. Inside Out, Marriage and Family is available to you when you make your gift to support Basic Gospel this month. Request your CD edition when you click Donate at BasicGospel.net. Again, that's Donate at BasicGospel.net. Plenty of open lines right now, but right now we're going to go down to Thorndale, Texas. We're going to talk to our friend Clay. Hello, Clay. Welcome to Basic Gospel. You're on the air.
Oh, thank you.
Hey there.
I was going to talk about something else, but I think I'll swap it to this discipline. The three scriptures are Psalms 23:4, Proverbs 13:24, spare the rod and spoil the child. 23, of course, is thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And Hebrews 12:6, the Lord disciplines whom he loves. And I, Richard, you kind of hit on this yesterday. I'll just say what I believe. I don't believe that as parents that we have, as being imitators of God, that we should war against our children's flesh in the natural as far as spankings and stuff like that. And I see that rod, as I believe you were talking about yesterday, as the rod of authority. And it's kind of like when we see it in the Old Testament as a shepherd's rod. He didn't beat the sheep with the rod, and God doesn't come down and send an angel to chasten us with a hickory switch, neither. And I just wanted to see if you see a place for physical spankings as far as the New Covenant and as New Covenant believers.
Okay. Well, I can tell you how my wife and I did it with our kids. First of all, I chose never to hit my kids. That was me. I've got an anger issue. I've had it my whole life. And if I was angry enough to spank a child, then I was too angry to spank a child. And so I backed off from that personally. My wife is far more able to deal with anger in situations like that than I am. And quite often what I saw her do, and I actually learned from her so I could do it, was when the kids were especially little, she first of all told me, there are things that are life-threatening. We just can't allow the kids to do that. You cannot run out into the street, period. You can't see. You don't know what's going on, etc. And if one of them did, there was always a nice, swift tap on the bottom through a diaper, not intended to make them cry, but intended to get their attention. So they go, what? You know, what's going on? You know, and of course they'll cry because now they don't get to do what they wanted to do and all that. The crying is not the issue. But there was a lot of teaching that went on in those moments. My son, if I can tell a story on him, we needed literally to hold his face in our hands so that he would pay attention to us. Because his natural response to a disciplined situation was nervous laughter. Well, that doesn't help the parent, if you know what I mean. So we had to get his attention by holding him. Now, every child is a little bit different, and one of the things that drove me to distraction was that after I had finally figured out how to discipline children with my daughter, my son is a completely different person than my daughter. And I had to learn all over again how to apply discipline. And thankfully for both of them were in the age group of being able to deal with discipline and all of that at the same time as my wife and I were finally learning about grace. And we decided that if we're no longer under law, then our children aren't under law. We had to find a different way to apply discipline. And there was plenty of discipline. Sometimes, you know, privileges were taken away. Sometimes they had to sit in a corner for a while or sit on their hands or not play with a certain toy or whatever it was. And, you know, we just, neither of us believed in spanking or in corporal punishment, especially when we were angry, as the means of getting through to our children. Now, I don't know how you do it, Andrew, but I'd love to hear how you and your wife have dealt with your son.
Yeah. Well, I agree with that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that because...
I'm sorry.
Go ahead. No, you can ask your question.
No,
go for it.
Can you bring, Andrew, can you bring Ephesians 6:12 into it also about where our battle is not against flesh and blood is this new covenant believer? Because I agree with what y'all do, but it's a hot, hot topic when you get around a lot of Christians if you tell them that the battle is not against their children's flesh. I mean, it can really get mean-spirited.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I mean, Paul also says, don't, you know, fathers, don't exasperate your children. And when you look up the definition of exasperate, it's saying don't infuriate your children, don't anger your children, don't annoy, irritate, madden, enrage, antagonize, provoke. So it says, instead, bring them up in the instruction of the Lord. So that tells me that the instruction of the Lord does not exasperate a child. So, you know, when I experience a product of the flesh and I have an outburst of anger and then I discipline in that outburst of anger, I can clearly say all of that is a product of the flesh. And then if I don't want to discipline according to the flesh, but instead I want to, you know, experience and express the discipline of the Lord, the training of the Lord, then I know for sure that's not going to infuriate, it's not going to incense, it's not going to exasperate my child. So I think there is a way to discipline that is training for the future instead of angry punishment for the past. And so, you know, you talk about Ephesians, and there's a number of passages where, you know, parenting and relationships come in. I mean, and in all cases, I think we have to let our actions be seasoned with grace, and we need to recognize that my child, whether he's 9 or 13 or 16, if he's a child of God, then he's not just my child. He's my brother or sister. They're my sister or brother in Christ, and there's a spiritual level on which I can respect who they are, understand their identity, understand what motivates them, speak into their life words of grace and words of encouragement. I mean, we're talking about discipline today, but I would say one of the big things I see is a general lack of encouragement for children. Parents are quick to discipline and slow to encourage. And I think that 9 out of 10 things that come out of our mouths need to be encouragement. And that can only happen as we trust the Lord for that too. So I don't see the need. I think Richard hit the nail on the head. Every child is different. You know, with my child, it very quickly in this day and generation, it became screen time. You know, how much screen time can I have? And will my privileges be taken away if I disobey? And so screen time became the most valuable commodity in terms of discipline. And it worked way better than any form of spanking that I had tried early on. And so I moved away from that and learned that in Gavin's case, you know, a spanking humiliated him. He didn't understand where it was going, what it was being done for exactly, and what it meant. And so instead of doing that sort of thing, you know, there's just a place for discipline that's more meaningful to the child. And, you know, you discover things that they value. And if you can operate with things that they value, then they understand, hey, if I reject this and I disobey repeatedly, then there's going to be an earthly consequence for that. And I think that kind of mirrors what happens on planet Earth with earthly consequences. So bottom line, my friend, I would say we all agree about discipline, that it needs to be done from love. And I would say even more than that, hey, parents, how much time are you spending actually speaking encouragement and love into your children and affirming them for all the things they are doing and for who they are in Christ?
You know, one other thing, God, I believe God chastens us with his word. He says the word of God is given for instruction and correction and reproof into righteousness.
Yes.
So whatever punishment that we give a child as a believer, a new covenant believer, I believe that it needs to be, the word of God needs to be applied to it. And that's the way I feel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very good. Well, yeah, I mean, when we're telling someone, hey, don't do this anymore, you know, there needs to be a rationale, an inspiration behind that. Hey, remember now, remember who you are. Remember what kind of heart you've got. You're a great kid. You've got an obedient heart that the Lord gave you, and you're not made for this. This is what you're made for instead. So, you know, affirming identity along with behavior. That's what the Apostle Paul did in every one of his epistles. He affirmed identity along with behavior passages. They go hand in hand, don't they, Richard?
Yeah, they do. And I'm glad you brought that up, because one of the things I see in our society today, and unfortunately it afflicts the church too, is that so many times parents have gone from, okay, I spanked them until they were six, and now all I do is call them names.
Mm-hmm.
And what we do as parents, especially with teenagers, is we tend to attack their identity. Oh, you'll never amount to anything. Mm-hmm. What a horrible thing to say. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's the grace of God that gets through to us and changes us, changes our thinking, and therefore changes our words, so that instead of saying ugly, horrible things like that, we can speak life over them, even while disciplining.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, Clay, hope that helps to clarify things. We have plenty of open lines. Time on the clock, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel. Andrew Farley joining Richard Piper and me, Bob Davis. And again, we're glad that you've joined us. We'd love for you to really join us at 844-322-2742 if you have a question you'd like to pose. Well, Valentine's Day is over, and if you haven't done so already, you can do something extra special for your husband or wife and your family. We think this 2-CD series, Inside Out, Marriage and Family by Bob Christopher, could be just the thing. Families, marriages, even motherhood today are coming under increasing attack and stress, and sometimes, as I said, outright attack, just frontal assault. This new series, Inside Out, Marriage and Family, shows the way to counter the assaults and build strong, authentic relationships and families. Inside Out, Marriage and Family is yours as you make your gift this month to Basic Gospel. As always, just click donate at basicgospel.net to make your gift and request your copy. Again, that's donate at basicgospel.net. Guys, a question from our friend Samuel, who writes to us from New Britain, Connecticut. This concerns 1 John 4:15. And Samuel writes, I have a question on that passage, specifically the NIV translation, which states, if anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them, and they in God. Most other English translations retain the word confesses rather than acknowledges. Maybe both words share the same root. I don't know for sure, but I have to believe that the word anyone in this verse is strictly referring to humans, because demons, on one occasion, Matthew 8:29, for instance, show that there's some acknowledgement or confession that Jesus is the Son of God, and I'm sure that God does not live in them, for light has no covenant with darkness. Please share your thoughts around this subject.
Yeah, well, you know, 1 John 4:15 does use the word confess. You know, 9 out of 10 versions would say confess. But confess, of course, comes from homo logos, which is say the same as or agree with. And so the spirit of that word acknowledge, I don't think is very far off. I think if we aren't careful, we end up making too much of verbal confession. And then you say, well, what about a person who can't speak? Someone who is unable to speak, I mean, can they still confess? So I think acknowledge is really what it's all about. In the end, we're talking about agreeing with God. An agreement with God is an attitude. So that's what saves. It's that there's an attitude that saves, and there's an attitude that grows. And the attitude that saves is, I agree, Jesus Christ, that you are the Son of God. I agree that you died on the cross for my sins, to pay the price for all my sins and take them away. I agree that you rose from the dead to give me new life, and I agree that I need to open the door of my life and receive you. That agreement, that attitude, guys, is the attitude that saves. It doesn't matter if it's said in 26 words or in 6 words. It doesn't matter if it's verbal or internal. If it's the attitude of the heart, that's what God sees. In the same way, then, you say, well, what about the demons? Well, James speaks to those, and he says, even the demons believe. You know, demons can pass a theology test, but they haven't opened the door of their lives. A demon is not indwelt by the life of God, but certainly any human can be. And that, of course, happens by confessing that Jesus is Lord, acknowledging his lordship, acknowledging his ability to save, and then simply inviting him to do so. So, a demon cannot be possessed by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is not interested in saving demonic forces. We know how that turns out in Revelation chapter 20. They're consumed. They're destroyed. They're thrown into the lake of fire. But the good news for you and me, guys, and all of those out there listening, is that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord, and that's us humans, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord can indeed receive the life of Christ and be saved.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thanks, Samuel, for your question. Another quick question from Austin. Who is it that determines what writing is inspired by God? Why has the canon changed so much, and why should we accept the current Protestant canon when the Catholic and Orthodox churches include more books? Can writing by Holy Spirit-filled Christians no longer be inspired by God? Thank you for all your insight and patience.
Well, it turns out that there hasn't been that much change over the years. The Old Testament was put together before Jesus was born, actually. Jewish scholars had collected the writings, and Old Testament canon, as it is called, was pretty much set in concrete long before Jesus showed up. The New Testament, of course, wasn't finalized until mid-300s, I believe, and it stayed pretty much the same. The only question has been what is called the Apocrypha. It's a collection of writings. Some of them have historical significance. Some of them don't. Some of them are kind of fanciful. And those are optional. And they've never been treated as, in my knowledge, they've never been treated literally as the Word of God like the Old and New Testaments have been. And so I think what we're getting at here is that the power of the Word of God was in God himself. The fact that a Christian today can write something that is inspiring does not rise to the quality and the innate power that the canon of Scripture rises to, because my life was changed by Romans. I doubt if anybody's life was changed by me.
A good point. Thanks, Richard. Well, friends, we feel like this two-CD series by Bob Christopher could be very helpful in your marriage and in your home. It's called Inside Out, Marriage and Family. And it will show you, as a believer in Jesus Christ, how to build strong, authentic relationships in your marriage and in your family life. Inside Out, Marriage and Family is available when you make your gift this month to Basic Gospel. Request your copy when you click donate at basicgospel.net. Again, that's donate at basicgospel.net. Well, interesting questions. We, of course, always love hearing from you, our listeners. And if you have a question overnight, give us a call at 844-322-2742. Record your question. You'll hear it soon on Basic Gospel. Well, thanks for being with us today for Basic Gospel, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and Andrew Farley, and the ministry team, Bob Davis saying God bless you. We'll be back for that study edition tomorrow. Bye-bye.